Amen. All right, let's take the Word of God this morning and open to the book of Luke. We'll be in Luke chapter number 11. I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs, Come Thou Fount. I enjoy that trombone or trumpet or whatever that thing is called. That was good too. Amen. Where's Kevin? Good job. I enjoy that. He's a good fisherman and a good trombone player. Amen. I love that song. I love our church. Aren't you thankful for Grace Baptist Church? I'm thankful for our church. And by that, of course, I don't mean the facilities. And I'm thankful for the facilities. Man, God bless us with a beautiful building. And so thankful for the hard work that's gone into it. But I love our people. That's who the church is. We are the church. And I'm so thankful to be able to see our people doing our purpose. I believe the purpose that God has laid out for us, and that is to worship Him, to connect to others, and to serve God by serving others. And I'm thankful this last week, Miss Bonnie Happick's mother passed away, and so many ladies jumped in and helped provide food for that, and that was a blessing. There's about 40 people that will be serving in different capacities throughout the building today during both services, and that's an encouragement to me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all the people that prepared lessons and things like that for the children in Sunday schools and for life groups on Wednesdays. Thankful for everybody that labors on Friday nights in our addiction ministry, coming out trying to help people that are struggling with addiction. Thankful for those that are reaching out to others that are hurting. I'm always encouraged when I hear about people writing letters to others and sending text messages and phone calls and things like that. I'm thankful that we know that we're praying for one another. It's very encouraging, isn't it, when someone looks at you and says, "Hey, I prayed for you this week." And I've been very encouraged to hear how you've been praying for one another. I just want to thank you for being a part of Grace Baptist Church. And not just coming and worshiping on a Sunday, but getting connected and serving God. And that's just a blessing to me as a pastor. I want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten connected, to get connected, whether it's through a life group on Wednesdays or through the RU program on Friday nights or just inviting someone out to dinner. Maybe even come into the connection class today that is going to be at 12:15 right after the second service. Maybe a good way to get connected for some of the ladies might be to sign up for the ladies' retreat. I think the deadline for that's next Sunday. Yeah, that's one of the greatest activities that they do all year long. The ladies talk about it. I think it's $165 or something like that for two nights, all the food, lodging, and activities, and memories that will be made. So I want to encourage you, if you need more information on that, to look it up. But we're going to preach now, right? We're not just going to talk about the different things coming up. So let's take our Bibles. Let's look at Luke chapter number 11. We're going to continue in the second sermon in a series that we're calling, what are we calling it? Test Drive. There you go. I want to make sure you remember what it was. We're calling it Test Drive. What we're doing is we're taking a look at some things that maybe you've heard about, but you haven't tried for yourself. What we did last week is we took the keys out and we said, here's something that the Bible talks about that maybe you've heard other people talk about how they've done it. Maybe you haven't done it for yourself. And we tossed you the keys and said, hey, why don't you take it for a test drive and try it out this week. You could call these things that we'll talk about during this five-week series, you could call it the Christian bucket list. You guys know what a bucket list is? Everybody know what that is? Those are things that you want to do before you kick the bucket, right? I don't know what those things are. Some people say they want to go skydiving. Others want to go Rocky Mountain climbing. Others just want to see if they go 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. But anyway, amen. I don't know what it is that is on your bucket list, but the things that we're talking about are some things that I would encourage you to do before you go to heaven. Not just things that you hear other people talking about, seeing them do things that are fun. And I want to encourage you to say, hey, let me borrow those keys. I want to take that thing for a spin. This last week, of course, we talked about Bible reading. It's something that a lot of people know that we should be doing, but a lot of times we're kind of sitting on the sidelines and listen to everybody else talk about their blessings. You know, last week, many people took that challenge and decided they were going to test drive Bible reading for the entire week. And I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, I got a call from someone whose friend had passed away, and they had a lot of different things they had to take care of and get lined up, and there was just a lot of stress on them. And he said, man, my wife wanted to thank you for preaching that message on Sunday because she took the test drive. And she said that she was reading in the book of Psalms, and there was one verse that stood out to her, just like it said on the paper that we handed out. And she said that as she was going through all that stress, she said that one verse kept coming to mind. And God used his word to encourage her and to keep her during that time. So it was very encouraging to hear that. And so maybe last week you took the test drive, or maybe you didn't. But I want to encourage you this week to take the keys of another vehicle that we're going to talk about. And it's, again, not something that is very deep, theologically, but I believe it's of utmost importance. I want to toss you the keys this week and encourage you to test drive prayer. I want to encourage you to test drive prayer this week. This first song we sang was Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And I tell you, one of the best ways to walk with God is through Bible reading and through prayer. But the truth is that many of us have just heard other people talk about it. We've never really honestly given it a real test drive for ourselves. And so what I want to do is I want to give you a quick commercial for prayer. Just like when you're watching TV and the commercial comes on and they tell you all the reasons that you need to have it. But then when you get, how many of you have ordered anything off the TV? Maybe you're a sucker for the Home Shopping Network or those infomercials. My mother-in-law's not in here, otherwise I'd make sure she raised her hand. If you've seen it on an infomercial, she has it in her home. That's just the way it is, okay? But you see all the reasons why you need to have this, but when you get it, sometimes you know, or always you know, there's an instruction manual that's included. A lot of times we as preachers are really good about the commercial, telling you why you need to do these things, but we don't give the instruction manual. So let me give you a brief commercial for prayer, but the truth is, in doing that, I don't think I need to give a fancy production or a bunch of tear-jerking illustrations to convince you that we need to pray. Right? Didn't we sing earlier? God is so good. He answers prayer. I mean, we need to pray. There have been volumes that have been written about prayer, sermons that have been preached about prayer, innumerable conversations that have been had about prayer. There's conferences about prayer, TV shows about prayer, classes about prayer, statues, art, posters, t-shirts, websites, and even bumper stickers about prayer. I mean, it's something that is often talked about, but seldom put into practice. I mean, we can talk about all the conference, TV shows, and all the other information we know about prayer. But let me just ask you a simple question. How much time did you spend in prayer last week? I mean, let's just get down to where the rubber meets the road, because it's really easy to get up here and just have a big cheerleading thing and say, yeah, we need to pray, but let's really examine not everyone else. Like last week, we gave the statistics about Bible reading, but the statistics don't really matter for everyone else. What about us? How much time did we spend in prayer last week? Not how much time you spend watching TV, although that would be a pretty large number for some people. Or how much time we spend on our phones or the internet, or reading books or magazines, or spent in a hobby. You know, wouldn't it be great if prayer wasn't relegated to the dire points in our lives? You know, when everything just is going haywire, and that's the time that we go to God in prayer. Prayer is not really designed to be a last-ditch effort. We understand that, right? Prayer is not designed to be something that is like a crutch. How many of you guys have a pair of crutches at home? I've got a pair of crutches. I haven't used them in a long time, but they're back in the corner of my garage just in case, right? Because if, Lord willing, it doesn't happen, but if it does, if something goes wrong, I know exactly where I need to go to get the help that I need. And you know, a lot of people, that's how they treat prayer. It's kind of in the back corner, and you know, whenever we start to have some serious issues, that's when we'll go grab that thing. I want to tell you what the Bible says about prayer. Prayer is how we receive grace and mercy in times of need. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Not only that, but prayer is how we receive fullness of joy. It tells us in John 16, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Not only that, but prayer is how we receive peace and freedom from anxiety. It says in Philippians 4, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." One person put it this way. They said, "No prayer, no power. But if you know prayer, then you truly know power." All right, that was the commercial. All right, everybody ready to grab their phone? Let me give the internet number to call. So you get no shipping and handling on this one, all right? But that was the commercial. I want to give you, though, the instruction manual. Because here's the thing. I know what my tendencies are, and I have talked to enough people to know that the majority of you here this morning know there's a need for prayer. But I think the struggle comes with the how to pray. I think the struggle comes with the instruction manual, because a lot of us have heard a message on prayer, or maybe God showed us that we needed to pray. We went home and We really, really tried. I mean, we decided we're going to get up early, or maybe we're going to pray at our lunch break, or maybe we're going to pray right before we went to bed. And we knelt down to pray, and we kind of stumbled through it. Have you ever been there before? Just really struggled in prayer and weren't exactly sure how to do it. Can I tell you that if that's how you feel when it comes to prayer, you're in good company. Because in our text, it says in chapter 11 of Luke, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place," he is referring to Jesus. So as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And so here's a group of people that they're not just going to a church on Sunday like we do. They're walking around with Jesus, all right? They're with the Son of God. If you want to talk about hearing somebody pray, maybe you've got someone in mind that whenever you think about a prayer warrior, they come to mind. Could you imagine hearing Jesus pray? And these people got to hear Jesus pray. They got to see him perform miracles. They got to hear him teach. And these people that were so close to Jesus came to him and said, "God, can you teach us how to pray?" And can I tell you that if you feel like you're not sure how to pray, you're in good company, because even Jesus' disciples wanted to learn how to pray. What we'll see in the following verses is what most of us know as the Lord's Prayer. And if we were to ask you, can you recite this prayer, I think that many of you probably could recite the Lord's Prayer. But I want to give a warning about this passage, and that is this, is that the Lord's Prayer is not given as a group of words to recite. The Bible actually warns us against vain repetitions. I'm not against people that have prayer books and those kinds of things. You can go to certain stores and buy a book of prayers, and many people will take those prayers and they'll read through those prayers or pray those prayers. And I know that the people that do that have the most sincere intentions, but the Bible tells us that whenever we pray, we're not supposed to just recite words that we don't understand. You see, when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, to recite these words is vain, but to learn their meaning is prayer. I don't want you to go away deciding this morning, "I'm going to memorize the Lord's Prayer so I can pray our Father, turn in hell, get in the kingdom, come, blah, 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 blah." Because if you're just going through the motions, the Bible tells us that that's empty and that's vain. But when Jesus gave them these words, he was not giving them words to recite, but he was teaching them how to pray. The following verses that we'll look at, I believe, are the instruction manual. How to pray. Because that's what they said, right? Teach us to pray. And so he taught them to pray. So let's look at it in verse number 2. The first thing that he says, how do I pray? And number 1 is just pray. Well, that's deep end. We're getting really in the deep end, all right? Pull up your waders a little bit, right? Just pray. You say, well, where do you see that in verse? You see it in verse number 2 where he tells them, "And he said unto them, when ye pray." Notice that they asked him, "Lord, we don't know how to pray. Can you show us?" And his response was, "When ye pray." Basically, Jesus gave them the model prayer, and he said, "Look, start praying, and you'll figure it out." Basically, he said he's taking the assumption that if you're wanting to know how to pray, then you've got to start somewhere. So you say, I'm going to take this test drive. Where do I start at? Just start praying. E.M. Bounds is a very famous Christian author who wrote a lot about prayer. He made this statement. He said, "Prayer is not learned in the classroom, but in the closet." Amen. Prayer is not learned in a classroom. It's not that I can get up here and say, here's how you pray, and I can give you all of the things to do. You can listen until you're blue in the face, but until you try it for yourself, you're never going to learn to pray. Yesterday I was at a, or I don't know, it was 2 days ago, I think. I was at a visitation, and there was one of the teenagers there, and I said, he said, "Show me a magic trick." I said, "Okay." And he had a penny in his hand, so I took his penny. And I held it in my hand. I said, "Well, it starts with holding the penny like this." I said, "Just take it like that, and you hold it." And when I went like that, it was gone. He kind of flipped out a little bit. Of course, you can make it reappear anywhere. And you guys know how that trick works, right? If how many years did Grandpa used to do that? And then you pull it out of your ear. Did anybody ever do that? My grandpa did that to us all the time. I fell for it every time. I'm going to teach you a magic trick. It's very simple. It's very simple. All right, watch it. All I do is when I go to grab it, I drop the ring. You see that? Watch it. What do you do? Drop the ring. And I'm just dropping it just like that. Can you guys see that over there? Very simple. Very simple trick. The catch is dropping it where you can't see it. And it takes a lot of practice to do that. So I was showing Isaac how to do this, and I said, it's real simple. You just drop the ring and cover it so they can't see it and follow it, and it's gone. And you just do it over and over, and it was hilarious to watch him try it. He would do one of these numbers, you know, and he would sometimes do that with his feet. And it was funny to watch someone try. Should get somebody up here to try. Right? Do you want to do it in front of everybody? No. Because here's what was happening while I was talking about it. He was chomping at the bit, like, give me the penny, give me the penny. And I said, it's real simple. Just do this. And he goes, okay, let me try. I said, let me show you one more time. Make sure your fingers are together. Make sure they can't see it. I went through the whole thing, and as soon as he got it, he was bumbling and fumbling, and he couldn't figure it out. And you know, I think that's a lot of times the way it is with prayer. You hear a pastor get up and he says, if you're going to pray, you've got to do it like this. And you got to make sure you do this. And don't forget to do that. And there's a few things you need to remember. And we're chomping at the bit on a Sunday morning. But yeah, let me do that. And if you just simply watch me do it, you're never going to learn how to do this for yourself. It takes practice. I literally, when I was in college, I used to take my class ring off during the lessons. And I'm sorry, professors, that I did these kinds of things. But I would sit in the back like this with a ring. And I would do this over and over and over until now it's just fluid. Well, not that time. But it's fluid where it makes it look like it's disappearing. It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of time. Can I tell you the same thing is true of prayer? Jesus lets him know from the very beginning that if you're going to learn to pray, you've got to start somewhere. And that's by praying. Just by starting. Many Christians feel inept in the area of prayer for the same reason that many feel inept in the area of magic. Tricks or illusions, because it's just never done before. Can I tell you the reason that we feel that we don't know how to pray? It's not because we haven't been taught. It's because we haven't been tried. And so we're going to start where Jesus started. He said, when you pray. So if we're going to pray, we need to just pray. The second thing, and I believe this is helpful, this is very practical this morning. Number two, how to pray? Pray out loud. Pray out loud. Look at what he says there in verse number 2. He says, if when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He uses this word say. The word say means to verbalize. Now, don't go out of here saying that Josh said that you're not allowed to pray silent prayers. Okay, I'm not saying that at all. Is it okay to pray silently in your head? Yes, perfectly okay. It is never prohibited in the Word of God. It's perfectly fine. Do you have to have your eyes closed when you pray? No. Do you have to be on your knee when you pray? No. I'm not telling you that there's a certain thing you have to do in order to pray, any of that kind of thing. But what I will say is that Jesus gives us an example here by telling us one of the things that will help us when we pray is to pray out loud, to pray verbally. The reason I say that is because silent prayer oftentimes leads to wandering thoughts, doesn't it? How many of you guys ever been praying and it's, dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and Lord, I just want to thank you that you give me a good night's rest. And then in your mind, you're thinking, good night's rest? Boy, I need to get me a new pillow. I saw that video. that infomercial with that guy. Man, that guy's got a weird-looking mustache. I wonder if he bought one of those trimmers, you know? Speaking of weird-looking mustaches, I wonder if Ben's ever going to grow a mustache. That would help him see that. Have you guys ever done something like that before when you're praying? You're just thanking God for something. Next thing you know, you're calling your aunt up in Alaska somewhere, you know. It's a lot different, though, whenever you're saying it out loud. Because it's really hard for your mind to wander whenever you're verbalizing it, whenever you're saying it out loud. And so, again, don't go out of here believing that you cannot pray silently. But I believe this is something that He put this word in here for a reason. And I believe it's because it'd be helpful to us. That's why another passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us that when you pray, to go into your closet and pray. Now, does that mean you need to be in your closet with your shoes and your clothes in there? And no, it means to go into a quiet place where no one else is going to see you. Many times when Jesus resorted, he resorted to a quiet place where no one else was. Because I believe that when he probably prayed out loud. And he didn't want to be like the Pharisees that went out onto a street corner and, our Father of God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and carrying on out so everybody could see them. No, he was in a quiet place. And so I want to encourage you, number two, to pray out loud. The next part, we're going to get right into the prayer side of it. Number three is this. Remember to whom you are praying. Remember to whom you are praying. Look what it says in verse number two. He says, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Whenever he begins to pray, he acknowledges that he's talking to the Creator of the universe. A lot of times when we pray, we do it out of vain repetition. No. A lot of times when we pray, I'll be honest with you, I've done this one before. Praying before we eat. I'll get there with the family and we're going to pray. And Heavenly Father, thank you for this food and thank you for this day. Lord, Christ, let's get a good night's rest. And where'd that come from? I went from a prayer for food to a prayer for bedtime. How many of you guys ever done something like that before? Maybe you're praying, Lord, help us have a good night's rest and bless this food to our bodies. I just said, prepare for the midnight snack or something, you know? A lot of times the reason we do that is because we're not remembering who we're praying to. I was listening to a preacher one time, and he said that one of the things that he likes to do is before he prays, he likes to just be silent for a moment and just to envision himself entering into the throne room of God and kneeling before the Maker of the universe. And when we remember to whom we're praying, it's going to be very hard for our mind to wander. It's going to be very hard for us to go in a different direction. So when you pray, be conscious of the fact that you're speaking to your Creator. Number four, the next thing here. Number four, I believe, teaches us to brag on God. Whenever we pray, we need to remember to whom we're praying, but when we begin the prayer, he says, hallowed be thy name. Now, again, these are not words to recite. We don't have to say, dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. What does that even mean? Does anybody even use the word hallowed anymore? We hardly ever use it. What does that word mean? The word hallowed means to be sanctified. It means to be set apart. It's showing proper respect and proper reverence. It means to hold someone in very high esteem. And so basically, whenever he's teaching them to pray, he says, enter into the throne room of your heavenly Father and then start bragging on him. Tell him how hallowed he is, how much you revere him, how much you respect him. Put him in the place of high esteem. I believe another way of saying this is to simply learn to brag on God. Much like when my kids come to me and they want something, they probably do what your kids do to you. They don't just come to you and say, hey, can you give me $20? No, what do they usually do? Hey, Dad, I really like that shirt you're wearing. And your muscles are so big. And you remember that time that you took me out to eat? Just me and you. That was so special. Got $20. But again, they're buttered up a little bit. And I've heard preachers say, you know, that's what we're doing with God. We got to butter God up a little bit. Oh, God. I'm going to ask you something for here in a minute. But before I ask you for it, Lord, you're so awesome. Your muscles are so big. God, You're just the best, you know? Hey, God, can you do this for me? I don't believe that that's what this is all about. I don't believe that God needs buttered up. Do I need buttered up? If they want $20, I need buttered up, right? God does not need buttered up. All right, can we get that understanding? God does not need buttered up because when we come to this prayer, in bragging on God, we do not do it because he needs to hear it, but because we need to hear it. We need to be reminded whenever we come before God, not only who we're praying to, but exactly the kind of God that he is. And we are reminding ourselves and saying it out loud, we're verbalizing, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a good God to me. You have blessed me. You have shown me love. You have shown me mercy. You are a gracious God. You are a kind God. You are a loving God. And to begin to go through all the attributes that you can think about God. Lord, you know everything. Lord, you are everywhere. Lord, you are all powerful. Your enemies are your footstool. There's nothing that is greater than you. Lord, you're the creator. And Lord, I just want to thank you for loving me. Thank you for blessing me. And just brag on your God. A lot of times when we pray, we kneel down and we can think of all the things that we want. But that's about the end of our prayer. You know, it's, Lord, I need this, this, and that. But we totally bypass this first part of the Lord's Prayer. The average Christian's prayer is all about me. We enter into prayer with the focus being on us, when Jesus taught us that the focus in entering into prayer needs to be on him. Not because he needs it. Not because God is up in heaven saying, here, pat me on the back and tell me how good I am. Look, he doesn't need that. We need to be reminded of who he is. When was the last time that you went to God in prayer and started just bragging on him, thanking him for all the things that he's done for you, and didn't even ask him for anything? I just stop and think about that. I mean, if I were to say, when was the last time you went to God and you asked him for something? I think that we can talk about a lot of things that we've asked him for. But when was the last time you went before God and just, like it says in Philippians 4, to pray with thanksgiving? I heard one person say, what if we woke up today with only the things that we thanked God for yesterday? It's pretty convenient. Thank the Lord that that won't happen. All right, that's what I'm thinking. Well, it's not in Scripture, but it's a good thought. Brag on God. Thank him for who he is, for what he's done. The next thing, if we're going to pray, we need to make sure we know to whom we're praying, and we need to make sure we brag on God. The next thing that we see, number five, is this. Pray for Christ's return. Pray for Christ's return. That's what it says in the next part of it here. It says, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. We realize that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He ascended back into heaven. And the Bible teaches us that he is going to come again. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that. He is going to come again. And one of the things that we lose sight of is the truth that Jesus is coming back again someday. I mean, we've seen the movie Left Behind, you know, both of them maybe, the old one and the new one, and maybe we've read passages of Scripture that talk about it, but man, we forget that Jesus could come back. Did you know that Jesus could come back today? I mean, there's so much going on in the Middle East between the Jews and the Arabs, and there's all kinds of things that have happened, just unbelievable. I'm here to tell you that we are nearing the end times, and I know they've been preaching that for a long time, but the reason I'm reminding us of it is because God told us we need to be reminded of it. Out of all the things when Jesus taught them to pray, he could have included 150 things right here, but he only included a few. And one of the things that he included is we need to pray that, Lord, let Jesus come back soon. As a matter of fact, it's very similar to Revelation 22. I think it's the last verse of the Bible, verse 20. Revelation 22 says this. He was testified of these things, saying, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know what? Whenever we kneel down to pray, and we pray, Lord, I pray that Jesus would come back today. What does that do? It reminds us of the fact that he might. And it makes us thankful. My mom raised us for a point in time where she would leave us alone, three boys alone. I don't know why she ever decided to do that, but we would go crazy and do things that three boys left alone would do in the house. I'm talking running around and breaking things and throwing stuff at cars as they drive by. I mean, we did all kinds of stuff. Made a huge mess. But whenever we got a phone call that mom was on her way back, we tried to put everything back in order. And I've told you stories before about breaking some of her precious blue glass stuff. And we took that stuff and we found some blue and we glued that stuff back together. And I'm sure she probably found some of those things. But we tried to hide it as best we could, right? Because we knew that mom was coming back and we wanted to get our stuff in order. And when Jesus is teaching them to pray, one of the things he tells them is, man, pray that Christ would return quickly. We need to pray for Christ's return. Pray daily for his kingdom to come. Helps us to live like he could come today. Next thing we see, number six, is this. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's will to be done. Verse number two says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. His will is done in heaven every time. Is his will done in our lives here on this earth every time? This part of the prayer is whenever we begin to take our decisions to him and we ask for his guidance. Whenever we're praying, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Lord, you're an awesome God. Thy kingdom come. Lord, I pray that you would come today. Help me to live in light of the fact that today could be my last day on this earth and I could be with you in heaven before this day is over. Thy will be done. Lord, I've got some decisions that need to be made at work. I've got some decisions that need to be made at home. I've got some things coming up that, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I pray that you'd show me what your will is, what your plan is on this. This is exactly where we're supposed to ask for the Lord's guidance. Oftentimes, this prayer is prayed while we're suffering through the difficulties in life. But I believe that the submissive spirit of asking for God's will to be done is not just for the dire circumstances, but for every area of life, even the seemingly unimportant things. Asking for God's direction. Of course, we ask for God's direction when we want to know what job we should be doing, or what school we should go to, or who to marry, or whenever we're sick, or making a big life decision. But what about God's will with our attitude towards a new boss? Or God's will about whose family we should visit during the holidays? Or which doctor we should see? Or what parties or functions we should attend? Whether or not to take out a loan? You know, how many of you know there's decisions we make every single day? And in the Lord's Prayer, when He's teaching us to pray, it's not just say out loud, Lord, thy will be done. It's going to God and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What direction do you want me to go in these specific areas? Many prayers that are prayed, Lord, please do this, please do that, please do that. Amen. When we should be praying, Lord, I'd sure like to see this happen. And you say that I have not because I ask not, but more than anything, I just want your will to be done. If I'm praying the wrong thing, please show me or change my desires. Praying that for His will to be done reminds me that my life is not my own and that God has a plan and purpose for me. Whenever we come to number 6 here, I want to just pause for a minute and think about this. Look at the things we've prayed for so far. In the Lord's Prayer, we've prayed for His name to be glorified. We prayed for His kingdom to come. And we prayed for His will to be done. You see where the emphasis is on all of those? It's upward, isn't it? The emphasis on those is all towards Him. You see, just as God wants to have the preeminence in our lives, just as He wants to be number one in our lives, He wants to be number one in our prayers as well. Doing so prepares my heart to pray. You see, after I've prayed and bragged on God, and after I've prayed and thought about the fact that He could come back again today, and after I've prayed and asked for His direction, His will to be done in my life, now I'm ready to begin to ask God to meet my needs in the rest of the Lord's Prayer. Number 7, I believe He teaches us to pray for God to meet our needs. Look at what it says there. He says, give us the day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. Bread is a daily need, unless you're on the Atkins diet. Bread is a daily need. It's something that Jesus told them to pray for. And this right here is the time that we bring our needs to God. This is the part of prayer where now I begin to say, Lord, I need some things. And Lord, I pray that you would supply these things. He says we have not because we ask not. I've heard some people say that they don't ask God for anything. But I believe that submission to God and His will gives us wonderful liberty in prayer to ask for the things that we see as needful. Next one, number 8 is this. Take time to confess. And forgive. This is what the verse says here. It says, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, I don't want to preach the whole sermon all over again. If you didn't get a chance to hear, you go back and listen to it on the website. But if you're saved, are you forgiven? Not a trick question. If you're saved, are you forgiven? Yeah. Absolutely, okay? In this passage of Scripture, this was before Jesus Christ died on the cross, so they were still under the law. Before the law, before Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, before that, they were under the law. And God told them, Jesus said, you better forgive others, because if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. But that totally changes after the cross. When you come to Ephesians 4, after Jesus resurrected, Ephesians 4 tells us that we forgive others even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Are you following me? The reason that we forgive others is because we are forgiven. And so when he's writing this passage of Scripture to people that are still under the law, he tells them to pray for forgiveness. But for us as believers, we have been forgiven.
And one of the things that we should do during our regular time of prayer is to be aware of the fact that we are a forgiven people. And forgiven people do not continue to live in sin. And this is a time that we go to God and we confess our sins and acknowledge that we are forgiven of those sins. And as we do that, he points out something that I think is incredibly interesting. When he told them to pray for forgiveness, he told them they needed to forgive others. Out of all the things that will ruin a Christian's life, bitterness and unforgiveness are near the top. And God in his infinite wisdom knew that we would struggle with that. And he told us that when we acknowledge our sin and his forgiveness to us, we need to acknowledge those that we need to. Can I tell you what this looks like in my life on a daily basis? This is the way that I pray. I pray at this part of the Lord's Prayer. I pray, Lord, I confess and I list the things that I know that are wrong, and I acknowledge that I've been forgiven by God. I'm thankful for his forgiveness. But then I also acknowledge those that have wronged me. And I'll be honest with you, there's two people right now for the last 2 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Two people. Every time I pray for about forgiveness, I have those two people come to mind. And so what I do every day is I ask the Lord, I say out loud to God, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. And there have been other people that have wronged me, at least I felt that they had wronged me, and it took me months before I came to this passage of Scripture and they didn't come to mind. But can I tell you that when you remember that you are forgiven, God tells us that should spur us to forgive others as well. And that needs to be a part of your daily prayer. Right now, there are people in this room that are bitter and angry at someone, and you're unwilling to forgive them. Can I tell you that part of the Lord's Prayer, the way that God has taught us to pray, is not just to ask for things that we want, but it's to forgive those that we don't want. What will happen is it'll be like that bell. Whenever they ring that bell, it's loud the first time, isn't it? Oh! Want to hear that again? Oh! But as time goes by, what happens? It's quieter, quieter, quieter. Some of us every day we're getting back up and we're ringing that bell again, ringing that bell again. We're being reminded of all the times that they've wronged us. Can I tell you? God says that when we're reminded of the way he's forgiven us, it's for us to forgive others as well. Number 9, pray for protection from temptation. Pray for protection from temptation. He says it there in verse number 4. He says this, and lead us not into temptation. Part of our daily prayer needs to be, Lord, I recognize that there are things out there that are going to tempt me. I recognize that there are things out there that are going to attempt to lead me astray, and I'm asking you to help me to avoid as much of it as possible. Because how many of us know it's a lot easier to avoid sin than to have to resist sin? I'm on this weird kick right now where I'm not drinking soda during the week and then I just binge on the weekend. But I said soda, right? I don't drink soda during the week. And if you put a soda in front of me, though, on a Monday, it's hard for me to look at that thing and go, no, I can't do that. But it's a lot easier if there's none of it sitting in front of me, right? If there's none of it in the fridge, we make sure there's none of it in the fridge, because if there is, it's hard. It's difficult for me. And one of the things that he tells us to pray is that whenever we pray, we need to pray that God would help us to avoid as much temptation as possible. Praying for this makes us aware of the reality of temptation. The sad truth is this, is that many Christians live their entire day on a daily basis, not even aware of the temptation that's around them. And that's a scary thing, because the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy's out to get you. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, preacher, you're doing the work of God, and you've got a target on your back. And I believe that I do, but my target's no bigger than your target. God's using you the same way that he can use me. And you've got a target on your back. And this part of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, it's praying, Lord, I know there's a lion at Tremont. Help me not to have to run from it today. All right? Don't let me see that thing's eyeballs. I'm going to have a gun with me just in case, you know. But, Lord, I know there's a lot on the loose. Help me to avoid it if possible. Which leads us to the last thing that he gives us at the end of the Lord's Prayer, and that is this. Pray for deliverance from temptation. Part of the Lord's Prayer, when we pray daily, Lord, help me to avoid as much temptation as possible. The last part of it is, Lord, the temptation that you do allow me to face, please deliver me from it. That's why it says, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Temptation is something that we all must face, and we should pray for God to show us what 1 Corinthians 10 calls the way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear. You see, the prayer for God to not lead us into temptation makes me aware of the temptation that is out there. The prayer for deliverance makes me aware of the escape that is out there. I need to be aware of the fact that, Lord, there's a lion on the loose in Tremont. Help me not to run into it. But I also need to be aware of the fact that, Lord, if I do run across that lion today, Lord, give me legs like Usain Bolt. Help me to be able to run faster than anybody else in this world. Lord, help me to have a good spot that I can climb up to that lion can't climb to. Lord, help me to find the way of escape. But a lot of believers, our prayers are, Lord, give me this. Out. We're gone. Amen. You don't say out to God, you say amen. And then we're gone. Do you see how this helps us to learn how to pray? I'm going to show you, this is what I do. I go to Luke 11, and I just walk through this. And I don't pray, but I'm going to keep going. I don't pray it, I recite it. But I do walk through it, and I say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, I recognize that you are a good, holy God, and you have blessed me. And I take a moment and I praise God for the things that he's blessed me for who he is. Brother, help me today. Thy kingdom come. Lord, I pray that you would help me to live today like it's my last day on this earth because you could come back today. Thy will be done. Lord, I recognize that you have a plan for my family, you have a plan for me, you have a plan for this church. And God, I pray that you would direct me in it. And I pray specifically about the areas that I'm unsure in. Give us day by day our daily bread. Lord, I've got some needs. Lord, you've met so many of our needs. I pray that you would continue to. These are some needs I have right now. Lord, I pray that you would meet these needs according to what your will is. Give us this day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, I recognize that I've sinned. Lord, I know that you have already forgiven me because of the blood of Jesus that cleansed me once for all. Lord, I want to thank you for forgiving me. Lord, I confess that I've done these things. I confess that it's bringing pain and death into my life. I pray that you'd help me to live in light of the truth that I'm forgiven of those. Lord, I recognize that today I might face temptation. I pray that you'd help me to avoid as much temptation as possible. But Lord, the temptation I do have to face, give me the strength and the wisdom to see the way of escape that I might be able to bear. You see the difference there? That's how I walk through. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing because it's so easy to go through the spiritual motions and leave out some of the most important things in the Christian life. There are people that are faithfully in church every week. And they have great reputations among their peers, but seldom do the things that we talked about in the last 2 weeks. Bible reading and prayer. It'd be very easy this morning to try to guilt everyone into doing these things. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying what our tagline is. Come on, you know you want to. Again, this week, there's a table in the foyer where you can sign up for a test drive. And all the things that we put on the screen are on the paper here, those 10 things that we talked through. And if you'd like to test drive prayer this week, I want to encourage you to take one of these handouts, sign that poster that's on the table, and then take the next 7 days and just pray through the Lord's Prayer and see what God does. I believe this is one of those things that should be on every Christian's bucket. Making prayer a regular part of your life. If you're not a believer today, the number one thing on your bucket list is not to learn how to pray. It's to learn that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. If you never trusted him and him alone, salvation only comes by grace through faith in him. Because he loves you enough that he died on the cross for you. He was buried and rose again. He has the power to